Hey everybody, welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your lovely, disgusting, awful, wonderful ideas and turn them into the next AAA video games. I am one of your hosts, Blake Rea.
And I'm your other host, AJ Hart. Blake, can we be quiet here? I need you to come down.
I'm not in the same house as you, but I'll be quiet. What's up?
Okay, you need to be quiet also. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's listening to this show.
Somebody?
Now, there's two possibilities. One, we have an eavesdropper. Or two, we have accidentally tapped into an unknown force. Let me explain.
No. Okay. Well, this is bad because I thought this was a private channel. I thought you and I were like...
I thought it was a private channel too, which is maybe more concerning because that means that we might be staring at the unknown, unseeable cosmic force that we've accidentally tapped into. Let me explain.
AJ, is it Jerry?
At some point... Jerry from Accounting might...
Is he the mole?
Well, he's not on this call. He's not in these calls. We explicitly tell him that he's not allowed to be in the call.
But you're stating that somebody's like listening in, right?
He could be a mole. Okay, look. We're getting away from it because we need to... I need to explain the problem before we decide what it is that needs to be done about it. Mm-hmm. Blake. We did an episode and we said, ha-ha, hee-hee, ho-ho, wouldn't it be funny if we put... things in a Final Fantasy game behind a paywall of something you had to consume. We used hot sauce as our example, but then Final Fantasy VII said, if you want this cool item, you will have to purchase Butterfingers. 2 weeks ago, we sat around and we said, hee hee ha ha ho ho, wouldn't it be funny if Lunatics Unleashed came back? And lo and behold, Lunatics Unleashed, for those that aren't in the know, Lunatics Unleashed came in for a brief cameo in the Animaniacs. And then there was another incident where, granted, our timing was a little bit off on it, and maybe this is another piece of evidence that it is not that we are being listened in on, but we have tapped into some sort of cosmic force a la Speed Force. Said, hee hee ha ha ho ho, wouldn't it be funny if there were werewolves in the Resident Evil franchise? Now, granted, the Resident Evil franchise jumped on that a little bit before us, because we said, hee hee ha ha ho ho, wouldn't it be funny if, and that was already happening. Here's what I'm saying. Whatever, all of our thoughts come from someplace, some sort of a great unknowable centrifuge of knowledge. And we are tapped into the same thing. The parallel thinking continues to hit the same general directions, Blake. We've tapped into, I think I'm just going to have to call it capitalism force. Because it is the unknowable energy of capitalism. It is something that we continue to skirt and accidentally dip our toe in. And we say, hee hee ha ha, Lunatics Unleashed? You have to eat for Final Fantasy? We need to be so fucking careful about what we're doing because the same horrible knowledge pit that the capitalist and marketing overlords are constantly dipping into to say, Netflix is gonna do this shitty movie. We're canceling this now. Y'all want a show about this? That same shit that makes all of us go, what are they thinking? We're tapped into the same thing. This is a force that is so fucking dangerous and I don't know what to do with it. But it's and it's with us.
AJ, careful. Spiritual Successor LLC is capitalist scum, dude. All our main goal is to make games that shouldn't be made and make a fuck ton of money off of it. So I don't see how this actually gives us a leg up because we're obviously our main competitor is Bethesda and they're starting to trip up lately. So I think by using this capitalist force, we got to come up with a better name. Like it's a pretty dumb name, admittedly. Because you think like you hear Speed Force, Gamma Radiation, what's that one?
Okay. Well, we can workshop the name on it. How do you feel about Suck Force?
We're tapped into the Suck Force.
Alternatively, Suckage with two C's.
No, Suck Force is pretty good because it's just I love. That Spiritual Successor walks like a weird fucking line. Like anytime we talk about it, you and I just say on Suck, and people that don't know what the fuck we're talking about always give us the weirdest fucking looks, and then I have to take that extra step like I'm explaining to family or whatever. It's like, yeah, I have a podcast, you know, and then I don't say the name, but it'd be like, yeah, on Suck, you know, me and my buddy when we're doing Suck. And they're like, what are you talking about? What are you and your
buddy
doing?
Oh, you doing suck over there? Look me up.
Suck with your buddy? And it's just always this weird moment. I like how Spiritual Successor walks that fine line. Also, my favorite beat is whenever we submit an ad to other podcasts and they tell everybody our Twitter handle, which is just Spiritual Suck with two C's, we always get a chuckle out of it. And I don't know if they legitimately think it's funny or they're like, I can't believe these fucking guys got away with that. That is so dumb.
And that is part of the suck force, dude.
That's part of the suck because, force.
Here's how I know that that's part of the suck force is eventually we're going to be big enough that we can give discount codes, and we're going to have to say, enter discount code suck.
Suck force. Enter suck
which
force.
Is such a good line for marketing. We're in this. Oh, we're in it. And you know what?
We're
I think
part,
it's a good idea because we're public facing, we can go ahead and like, we can be the ones that name this omnipotent force first. Because, like, you know, McDonald's isn't going to come out and be like, oh, and this is the omnipotent force of energy that we tap into every time we want to come up with
a new
mascot.
Big idea. When we submit our toy line to McDonald's, we call it the McSuck Force. And that's idea?
It's a good idea. I'm writing that down. But what I'm saying is that we can brand this unknowable cosmic power, and I do think that we can go ahead and brand it Suck Force. So now, moving forward, whenever a brand does something fucking buck wild, we will all know they tapped into the Suck Force.
To the Suck Force.
Or more concerningly is that I think that they have better control over it, because obviously we're not tapping into the Suck Force every time.
Well,
there's evidence that we are touching it, though.
Unlike Barry Allen tapping into the Speed Force, where he's just kind of at one with it, what dictates your ability to enter the Suck Force is how much advertising money you have. You and I are two broke people, so it's like
imagine what we could do with a budget.
Imagine, yeah, like if you and I had like a Bethesda game budget, how we could just make Suck Force the game, and it would sell instantly, and we'd make a shit ton of money. But
hey, I'm writing this on my resume. No, hear me out. If I, the next
creator
time I'm applying
of the Suck
and
Force.
I build out my website, I'm going to have like a little thing that just says Suck Force. And people that don't know, or the people that do know, they'll say, he has a tap for the Suck Force. And it's going to be a little highlight reel. It's going to have me saying, it's going to be dated. It's going to be like, I mentioned the lunatics unleashed on a public forum this time, and then they showed up. I said you would have to drink hot sauce for Final Fantasy. Then you had to eat Butterfingers. And then at the end of it, it's going to say, I know about the ancient cosmic force that you tap into. This is what I was able to touch with no money. Imagine my potential. Please hire me for your ad fund.
You know how else that could go? You put Suck Force on your resume, and then they look at that and they raise an eyebrow like, I got to put this in
the note
pile.
That's right, because we're the first ones to brand it. There's probably like an inside baseball term for
it. No, they just think it's like how a normal person would look at that word and be like, oh, why are
they
putting
that kind
of detail
on a resume? No, I'm saying that what we just coined as the Suck Force, they know of by another name. They have an inside baseball term for that ancient cosmic horrible marketing force.
Okay, it's like when one person comes up with a fun like slang word, and then you find out somebody else on the other side of the country is using it. There's that like argument of like who came up with it first.
What do you think they call it?
I don't know. Like a fucking.
What is the Suck Force? I mean, like a Suck Force by any other name is just as horrible.
I mean, I don't know. They probably it's capitalism, dude. It's like it's just predicting capitalism. Like, I don't know if they have a fun word like we do. That's the edge that we have over them.
Branding. Nice. Branding.
All right, this is dumb. Let's talk about some games, dude.
Not only do I want to talk about games this episode, I'm going to be training. Today's episode, I'm dedicating it to honing my ability to tap into the Suck Force. So
this is like Professor Xavier's school for Suck Force, right? This is what this podcast is us training.
I was thinking more akin to Goku training in high gravity, but yeah, we're both on the same idea of like, because it can't be Xavier, because like, am I gonna look at you and say, yo, you're Professor Xavier and you know what the fuck is up?
AJ, you're young Xavier. You gotta think about it this way. You're training yourself, so when you get older and you lose all your fucking hair and you could just like, you sit and you look cool, you're gonna teach young, inspirational capitalist minds the ideas of the Suck Force, and you're gonna imbue to them your power. That's how you need to look at yourself.
Capitalism doesn't give back to younger generations, Blake. What are you talking about?
That's the idea of Suck Force. Is like, it's just talking about things, making people feel good. But at the end of the day, you're just making money. Like, we can say, like, hey, Suck Force is about predicting the future and talking about the things that are going to be hot on Netflix and stuff. But at the end of the day, AJ, we're here to make money. We're here to, like, we're here to make cash money off of our dumb games.
All right.
Let's go ahead and start doing some video games. Are you losing track of that, AJ? Are you becoming hopeful? Are you becoming like, are you realizing capitalism?
No. Like I just said, capitalism's.
I have another guy on the side. I just didn't realize that you were putting up a front
for the public image.
I have Jerry from accounting. He'll be happy to be the second guest on the podcast.
You and I, you can try, but as I guarantee he can't tap into the Suck Force like me.
I fucking hate that it's called Suck Force.
Well, unfortunately, we couldn't think of a better name.
It's so perfect, but at the same time, it's so, like, lewd.
Until we find out what the fucking actual real business boys call it, we have to refer to it as the Suck Force.
All right, give me a game. We've been talking about Suck Force for too long.
All right, I got a video game idea for you. This comes from our Reddit on reddit.com/spiritual_successor. This comes from Reddit user Isan. Got an idea for you, boys. A rhythm game. Parappa versus Chance to keep the title The Rappa.
So really quickly, Parappa is that little pig that likes to rap, right? Parappa the rapper?
You're thinking of Peppa Pig that likes to rap. Parappa is a dog.
Okay. what are you thinking, buddy? Because
here's the thing. In my mind, I know of what I think of as Parappa the Rappa, the video game. Uh-huh, and uh-huh. I want to know what you thought of. When I talked about Parappa the Rappa, you just implied that you were thinking about a pig that liked to rap. And I think you were thinking of Peppa Pig. And I'm very curious about what the video game Peppa the Pig the Rappa looked like to you.
Well, I read that and I wasn't surprised because, like, there's this weird meme fan base of Peppa the Pig. So I was wondering, it wouldn't surprise me if there was an episode where they just decided they wanted to learn rap. And I think that's kind
of
adorable.
Okay, so your immediate thought when you heard Parappa was, oh, the little pig. Blake, did you know that there was a video game called Parappa the Rappa with a little dog that wore a beanie?
I have never heard of this before. Let me pull up an image. Parappa. Parappa the Rapper? What?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh no, I know this guy. I remember seeing this image before. Okay, so I have never played this game before. It's so we're doing a rhythm game where it's this guy. Actually, you know, this is totally possible. Actually, AJ, you know what I fucking miss? Because it was a huge thing in the 90s with like adventure games. They were like, hey, what? Because video adventure games were trying to figure out how to revitalize themselves. And one of the ideas they came up with is like introducing live action actors against like a blue screen that they would then key into the environment.
Yeah.
So, but I want to take this to like the natural level here. So we have like high budget cameras now. Do you know how like, remember when Hatsune Miku was touring and they just like did holograms versions of her and they had like that? What if you do a game that we actually shoot live action footage of Chance the Rapper going against a hologram of Parappa the Rapper? And that's how we shoot the thing. But then I'm trying to figure out how would you incorporate a game element to that? Because now also that's the ad tour for this. The two of them are going to be touring across the United States.
Hell yeah, and we just call it the Rapper Tour. And it's headlining Parappa and Chance, and they're going to release like a whole collabo album together. It's going to be great.
That actually, I don't know how the hell that would go. But
I'm really excited to see the re-release and remixed version of Redbone, except it has Parappa the Rappa in it, and he's just so excited to have a bone because he's a dog. It's going to be dope.
Oh, God, I haven't listened to... Wait, Redbone AJ, hold on. You're saying Redbone was done by Chance the Rapper.
Was it not?
It was done by Childish Gambino.
Fuck! Damn it, you're right. Oh,
now,
fuck.
Now Donald Glover's in this game. Now he's just, like, slowly growing from our mistakes.
Oh, fuck. Chance the Rapper's... fuck me. Oh, man, I can't believe I fucking missed up Childish Gambino and... Okay, we're moving on.
No. We gotta come up with a game. So their tour. Okay, we have their touring, and that's how they're gonna. We're gonna drum up support for the game. They're gonna like every city. They're gonna hit up a GameStop, which is.
We're finally gonna bring GameStop away back. Yeah, we're gonna give them concerts.
I mean, a lot of if you go to a GameStop now, a lot of them are kind of empty. So
there's no reason to be there because they can be there digitally. But we can give them. We're going to do a music tour set up with Chance the Rapper and Parappa the Rapper, and they're going to go GameStop to GameStop, doing a tiny set in every single GameStop in every single major city.
Dude, that's actually like I know we were just talking about Suck Force, but that like legit sounds like Suck Force with like just the way the world is right now. Like,
because we're going to hit that point where, like, the world's going to start being like, we should get back out into public. And you know who's going to help that? Parappa the Rapper. Come check out his live set this Saturday at the GameStop. You're right. Oh, you know fuck. What? Like, that is the speed. You know, that is the Suck Force. We're looking at it.
So
like,
funny.
We found it.
I think people are going to be so, like, event hungry that. Even if they don't know who Parappa the Rapper is, they'll be like, oh, it's a music festival. I'm going to go to it. And then they just show up and just see this little animated dog. Like, what the fuck is happening?
No, he's absolutely going to be a big deal because this was a Sony exclusive. This is going to be another one of those games that Sony's like, oh, we own Parappa the Rapper. We can.
I've never heard
Let's
of
put
it,
him
dude.
In some GameStop.
I'm not assuming I am the standard of like. You know, if I have this knowledge, I'm sure a mass majority of people do. I just like, I don't know if it was as big as maybe, I don't know. Maybe I lived under a rock, but I've never
lived
heard
under a rock.
I
didn't
never
get
heard
to play
of
Parappa
before.
The Rapper.
I don't know. Maybe this was before my time. Cause I did not have.
Well, it was my time. So it should be the same time.
Well, you and I grew up, we grew up different, dude. You were a PS4, you were a PlayStation house. I was an Xbox house.
That makes sense.
Exclusives weren't really a thing like for me until I was like in college where I started noticing like, oh man, I missed out on so many games. I need to start checking out some PlayStation stuff. All right. So there
you got a video game for me?
I do have a video game for you. All right, AJ, in our ever-changing worlds, we're signing deals left and right, and I just wanted to let you know that I got off the phone with Jerry from accounting. He just hooked us up with a deal with ARP 1033. I am not witty enough for a funny name. Tumblr manager. You just bought Tumblr for a couple $1,000s, which was still too much. Can you sell?
Yeah, leave it to Jerry to fuck up that deal too. God damn.
Can you turn the site around and sell it for a profit? I want to take a little card from Reddit because they do these really wonderful things once a year. Have you ever seen the thing where it's like everybody, you have this giant canvas and everybody can color in one pixel of this canvas, and the amount of people that got on group forums and collaborated to build these giant scale images, like there would be 500, 1,000 people being like, okay, these are the pixels we're going to fill in to make one giant image together. How can we take that energy and apply it to Tumblr, where it becomes a gamified group effort to make that page good?
I would argue that that's maybe how Tumblr already works with text posts. I think that everybody's in there trying to collaborate and make their funniest line so that they can make a funnier line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tumblr already has that a little bit.
I would like
but
to
we
want to
get a little bit more granular. You want to get to like a visual collaboration.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What
if you can... What if we do something where on Tumblr you can only save it? Because what I like to use on Tumblr for is I'll go through and I'll try to find like lock screens to use. Like that's like a big thing that I'll end up doing. Or I'll find reference photos for a fantasy thing that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
What if we expand Tumblr and say that the only way that you can save or share somebody's image is if you add something to the image file?
Explain, what do you mean?
So I see a really, really cool photo of Give me something. Give me something to have a photo of. I don't want to do improv. You do it for me.
02. There you go.
Okay. I see a really cool image of 02. She's in her cool mech
suit,
I guess.
She's got the sweet fucking Admiral jacket on. This is like the one that's draped over her soldiers.
Yes, where she has the big hat. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to reblog this so that I can show all my cool friends. And then Tumblr says, up. You need to add something to this image before you can share it to all of your friends. And so if I go to hit the reblog button, then the photo comes up on my screen and it says, draw something. And I'm like, okay, what would make this image cooler? And then I draw that cool S that I drew in high school all the time. And
yeah,
the universal cool S. So now it's like a cool photo of 02. And then on the top right, it's got a cool S. And then I share it to all of my cool friends on the internet. And then you see it and you think to yourself, I would also like to share this to my cool friends on the internet. So you go to reblog it on Tumblr.com, but you have to add something to the image. What would you add to an image of 02 with a cool S on it?
I'm trying to figure out, do I have to build off of the S or do I have to build off of 02? Because I'm trying to figure out.
It is a new layer. So like in Photoshop, how you draw, you add layers on top of things. I think it is a new layer on top of the image. If you're very clever and talented, you could potentially add onto the 02 image. Maybe make 02 a little bit smaller and give yourself more canvas space. Or you can just slap a little couple stickers on it and call it good.
See, I hate this because then it's gonna become Tumblr's like going off of what you were saying, like, yeah, like going to Tumblr to get a lock screen, and then you log in and all you see are just like, you go to the 02 tab and it's just people drawing like things that aren't 02 and messing up the wallpaper. Like
Image of 02, I would fire it up and I'd see the cool image of 02, but I might just see her hat because people have like drawn like glasses and a little mustache on her, maybe like a little demon tail and like five cool S's and a bunch of hearts. Maybe somebody shrunk it down and then on the top wrote "she stinks" all in like a big uppercase over the top of it. Like, people really just dumpstered this image. And I think to myself, I'm so glad that we as a team, as a group, as collaborators have all come together.
AJ,
to absolutely pimp out this image of 02.
You know what would happen if I was handed an image of 02? I'd copy paste Ichigo's head because Ichigo's best girl.
I thought you meant Ichigo Kurosaki of Bleach fame.
Yes, actually, that's funnier. Yeah, I'd put Ichigo's head on 02. Now,
I would do that with every image. Every image I saw, I would reblog and copy-paste Ichigo Kurosaki of Bleach fame onto the face, and I'd say, man, screw every anime character. Bleach Ichigo Kurosaki is the only anime character that matters.
I mean, that you're leaving out Uzumaki Naruto, and that's an actual travesty. That's heresy.
No, I'm sorry. Look, it's not my fault.
So when you download these images, can you get the original or is it just whatever new image you made?
It is a mandatory collaboration.
Interesting. Okay.
This solves two problems. One, we know that we will always be collaborating to create better art. Two, there will be no more art thievery because you will always have to add on to something.
Okay, I like that.
Now, I know what you're wondering. How do we make sure that people add a decent amount of art to the image? Every time you try to reblog or save something, you are randomly generated an amount of screen space that you must cover up. So it will be random. You'll never know how much screen space you can do. So it's not like people can just be like, oh, I'm going to leave a watermark every single time. Like the algorithm will be like, you didn't use enough air quote ink.
I have an idea for you. There's going to be two versions of every image. Let me rephrase that. You know, like on an iPhone or any phone, it has a night and day mode that you can turn on depending on like where you want your eye comfort to be. What if Tumblr utilized that, and when you're in night mode, it enables an invisible ink sort of thing? So like a blacklight mode. So what if you have these images that look totally fine on the surface, and then you take a blacklight to it, and then it's just a completely different piece of art? And I'm trying to think, that would be kind of cool because it would be like...
This rule.
Because... because I can, I feel like Tumblr of all places would come up with really fucking cool like ARG games out of that, where it just be like, yeah, you need to.
You apparently have touched a very different Tumblr than me.
I feel like every time I've been on Tumblr or like interacted with people that I know use Tumblr, a lot of the images, a lot of things they discuss are like BuzzFeed Unsolved. Unsolved mysteries or cryptids or things. I feel
but that's not built into like the Tumblr layout. Like those are just things
it's not,
post.
No, it's not built into the Tumblr layout, but I feel like if we're trying to revitalize Tumblr, we got to lean into the things that were popular. So there's a lot of foodie.
Supernatural, Doctor Who, and the third one. Sherlock.
It wasn't Castle. Sherlock, Doctor Who Lock. Yeah. God, that was an era. But I'm saying, like, if you enable the blacklight mode, you could do some sort of thing, or it may be even cooler, the community utilizes it to tell their own ARG stories that are discovered over images, and they're hidden in the images. But maybe, I don't know, maybe you would have to figure out, I don't know how they would organize it, be like, hey, today's topic is these images, and you
I
know,
like
you
the
need
idea
to look at
of...
these images to find...
I like the idea of a blacklight mode that people can add to. So there's two different versions that they can add to. My problem is that that means that like the community will wisen up automatically and just assume like, oh, I'm just going to look at things in day mode so I don't have to deal with anybody's like dark mode additions. And that sucks. Mm-hmm. We can't hidden
like,
additions.
Go to any site and you're going to experience that. Like Reddit, I think, is like the best example. It's like, yeah, there's a bunch of ARG shit happening on Reddit every single day.
Look. I do want the ARG thing to happen, but we can't build in an ARG thing that I can so easily see as a way to circumnavigate our mandatory collaborative art system.
All right. I mean, yeah. So day and night system, where basically you can like do a blacklight mode on all of the images. And
yeah,
then
that has to be thrown away because then people will just say, I don't want to look at the dark mode things.
AJ,
the community, like everybody in the community will just be like, oh yeah, in order to reblog the art you like, you can just go into dark mode or day mode because nobody uses that and just draw there and then no one's going to see it. So I've already undone all of the fucking hard work that we put into Tumblr.com.
Well,
are you gonna let us
get
caught out like that? Come on, we're professionals.
AJ, keep in mind though, the likelihood that somebody's going to discover an image right after it was posted for the first time without any edits is so unlikely. So any image you're gonna come across is already gonna be like altered. Two, I think it would be so fucking cool because this is becoming popular, doing like limited windows of availability, like how Nintendo's doing with their game, like the physical version of the All-Stars and that other game that I have not played yet, like Mario 35 or whatever. Every image has a lifespan from when it is posted, and the image can only stay alive if it has been altered. So like, hey, an image was posted. It has 24 hours to be reblogged and edited before it is removed from the site. So you will have these images.
Images can only stay alive if they are constantly being modified and adapted and adjusted
Yes. So then you'll have like, you'll be 5 years into the social media platform and be like, yeah, this image was from like day one and everybody constantly makes an effort to edit it at least once a day. So you just have these layers upon layers. And you know what you should do? After like the first year, we unlock this ability to where you can see every layer that was ever posted. So you can like look at an image and then you can slide away to see like what layers were added. So you have like an image that is completely caked in new additions that you don't even know what the original image is anymore. So you have to like, you can't save the original image, but you can see all of the different layers that were added to it.
This is very
good. It creates this very like,
here's my one problem I'm realizing right now, Blake.
What's up?
This isn't a game.
This
is an experience, which is fine. I'm all for an experience, but why don't we go ahead and put a pin in it and move on to, you know, our bread and butter around here.
Okay, I'm concerned that
this little experiment is not going to help me train for the Speed Force. Or not Speed Force. I keep messing it up. Why do we name it with an S? I'm worried that this isn't going to help me tap into the Suck Force.
The Suck Force. Okay, if we come back to it, we'll add a point system to where, like, basically whenever you're posting, you earn some sort of ability or whatever. maybe to take away other people's edits, or maybe add your own to other successful posts or whatever, like something like that. All right, you have a game idea?
This submission comes from Alleycat at Millennium Hoo Ha. The new Kirby game is out, and it's the dark, gritty reboot that nobody asked for. I have incredible news. I have one little word that is going to change Kirby, flip it on its side, and change everything.
Pray tell.
Teeth.
Teeth?
Yes.
So you're saying a...
Teeth.
Interesting.
I'm saying take Kirby. A being that we know inhales things, swallows them, gains their power. And think about Kirby and how much all of him changes the second you put teeth in his gob.
Just picturing, like, the opening scene is him at the doctor, and he's like, you have swallowed so much food without chewing throughout your entire life, it has done irreparable damage to your body. Here are some, like, he hands Kirby some of those cheap vampire plastic teeth, and now Kirby goes through a whole normal-ass Kirby game, but anytime he sucks something in, he just fucking chews them, and, like, pixelated blood goes everywhere.
I'm very interested in Kirby with vampire teeth. That is much more grisly. Might I propose one thing, though? Instead of it being a doctor-prescribed teeth setup, Kirby, as we all know, is a baby.
Oh, God,
what
he's
if
the, teething.
What if our little gobby is teething?
Oh,
our little gooball,
God.
He's teething.
Oh,
he's
no.
He's discovering that he can chew.
And he just, and he loves it.
And
he's
gnash,
like, so into this.
And tear?
Kirby rip and tear.
Rip and tear. Chew and gnash.
Okay, so
Kirby,
we got to talk about something.
With teeth.
We got to talk about something. So one of the core gameplays of Kirby is sucking in enemies and obtaining their powers. I feel like that, because they can be spit back up. I feel that implies that if they are chewed to death, that they don't come back. So
nope.
How
you're correct in
powers,
that assumption.
Are the powers then absorbed into Kirby's new teeth? So all of the powers are teeth based. Are all the
okay?
Teeth,
here's how we gamify this. If a Kirby chews, if Kirby swallows Waddle Dee, is he the one that shoots the laser? No, Waddle Dee's the
honestly,
little dude with the spear.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly have. It's been so long since I played a Kirby game that I do not know games. But just say the power. Just say the power guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. A laser beam. So if Kirby swallows up the laser beam person and he becomes laser Kirby normally, but if you decide to chew the person, if Kirby decides, nom 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 nom, chomp chomp chomp, gar gar gar, then the numbers will go up one. The numbers go up every time he chews and swallows, so that the enemy will be dead forever. Numbers go up.
Oh my God.
We can add in more RPG elements. And I think that just adding one number, here's the important thing. Only one number goes up for Kirby every time he chews and swallows and consumes somebody for power permanently. So every time he would use the laser beam power from then on, it's a little bit more strong. He sees another person. Every time he sees an enemy, he can decide to consume them, chew them, eat them for a permanent upgrade. Or grab them and swap his Kirby form at the moment.
Interesting.
So there's always a little bit of risk reward. Ooh, do I want to use that power or do I want to save that power so that the next time I want to turn into Car Kirby, I'll be a little bit faster.
Interesting. Okay. So how does that look like in terms of a level?
It looks like a Kirby game. I mean, it is just a Kirby game, I think. Maybe a little bit... Oh, it's a dark, gritty reboot. So one thing that we got to do to Kirby is we do have to go ahead and just like, you know, that contrast slider, how everything's like all bright and colorful. We're going to slide that a little bit down. Now it's all grayer.
I love the idea because like Kirby, if I remember correctly, in the newer games, the way they did it, like with Kirby's like carpeted or adventure or no, that's Yoshi's carpeted adventure. The one where, it, like, a yarn, like a tale of yarn or
something.
Yeah,
Kirby's Yarn Adventure.
Yeah. basically he goes to worlds and each world has different theming. So what if you did that? This is taking place. The reason he has his teeth is that he's going to some Halloween style world. So all of the enemies are like Halloween monsters. You have the sheet ghost, you have the vampire, you have the werewolf, you have a giant jack-o'-lantern. And those are the enemies he's going against. That's why it's a little bit more gritty. That's why it's a little bit more serious. And remember, I have not seen the series, but I know you and I always constantly bring it up in conversation where we're like, man, one day we should watch Monogatari, because like there's that scene where the dude's getting killed, but they basically turn his blood into like this neon like pink art thing.
Yeah, that fight scene looks dope. Like that where,
yeah, I have no idea why they're fighting.
Oh, the blood is colorful neon colors. So Kirby takes a bite out of somebody and there's like a blood splatter, but the blood splatter is so vibrant and fun looking.
Yeah, like he just bit into a juicy starburst and it just explodes everywhere.
Yes,
might be a little bit too morbid. But
no, because it's going to look nice, right? Because Kirby's going to suck somebody up and then you're going to press the chew button and like a wonderful like little paint splash of color is going to spurt out of Kirby's mouth. And it's going to be like neon and fun colored, and you're going to hear like such a satisfying crunch every time you hit that crunch button. Different enemies have different health bars, so you'll have to mash that crush button a little bit more. Mm-hmm, you know, first couple enemies, you only have to hit the chew button two times. By the time you hit late game, you suck somebody in. It's like a quick time event. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
This might be a little bit more complicated than most Kirby games are, but would you do a thing where certain enemies can only be chewed by certain types of teeth? Like you have to defeat the laser boy, you need to make sure you have the stone guy chewed up in your mouth. Because, like, it would be wood, because electricity can't go through wood. So you can't, like...
Yeah, you have to be wood. Like, wood Kirby's really... the only Kirby that can chew electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then maybe you I like
something
that.
Like that. Okay, okay. And then the other thing I was saying that might be too morbid, but what if there was, like, a... what if there was, like, a Splatoon aesthetic where, like... one of the things that contributes to your score is how much you paint the level with neon blood.
That will control how much Kirby dances at the end.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Because and it's like and what I love about this is like then for the player, you think it's so fun and colorful and wonderful. Look at Kirby, he's dancing. But to the other inhabitants of Dreamland, they see a absolute murderous chewing machine. All it knows is to consume, chew, and gain power. And it's just covered in blood. Blood's everywhere, and it's doing a little dance, doing cartwheels and backflips.
All of the cutscenes take place from, like, the villagers' perspectives, of just, like, watching this fucking pink blob covered in the blood of their people just ripping and tearing their way across the landscape.
And what's incredible is Kirby's always been like one of those games where like it's about a cute little puffball that's fighting like these really like over the top horrifying monsters, right? Like final bosses of those games are really spooky looking. It's why Meta Knight is another Star Warrior, and he's all like sorted out, kitted out, ready to fight an inhabitant of darkness. Mm-hmm. What if Meta Knight looks at Kirby, and Meta Knight with his cool sword and armor looks at Kirby and is just like, Jesus Christ, nothing can stop. He's found out how to chew. Nothing can stop him. Thank God he's on our side. And Kirby's just running through.
And then, like, towards the end of the game, Kirby starts losing their mind a little bit. They're like, I just gotta chew. It's a sensation I can't control. I need to chew on anything. And then, like, one of the big fights is, like, he's going up against, who's the guy with the hammer, the big penguin?
King Dedede,
and King Dedede grabs his mallet and is like, I have to end you to save that. Like, King Dedede becomes the good guy because he understands how fucking dangerous this is. He takes his hammer and swings it towards Kirby, and Kirby just looks at him, big wide eyes, and right before the mallet makes contact, he just opens his gullet to reveal like blood cake teeth. Chomps down on the mallet and then just shatters it into pieces in front of King Dedede's eyes, and he's like just like fucking loses his shit.
King Dedede is like, of course going to run away because we can't lose that sequel possibility.
Meta Knight is the true final boss.
Yeah, Meta Knight sees Kirby. Kirby finishes the final boss, like the air quotes, what we think is the final boss of the game. And I think what's important is the air quotes final boss of the game is going to have like this, like the chew mechanic cutscene, but it's going to go on for so long. Like the player's going to be sitting there thinking, this is an uncomfortably long quick time event of me mashing the chew button, and then the boss is going to get out, and so you have to eat the boss a second time, chew it for an uncomfortable amount of time, and you're just going to do that and do that, and you're going to, every time the boss climbs back out of Kirby's horrifying chew maw, the boss is a little bit smaller, a little bit more beat up, and like you as the player, that's cool. Like hit this point with the final boss where you're just like, man, I'm really just gobbling this dude up, huh? And it becomes very uncomfortable for the player. I want to kind of replicate the final QuickTime event in The Last of Us scene. If you haven't played that, if those who have know how uncomfortable that is. I want that, but as Kirby chewing somebody. And then you get to the real final boss, and it's Meta Knight thinking, like, you get to the Meta Knight fight, and you're like, someone has to stop me. The player has to think that. I want the player to be like, someone has to stop me. And then Meta Knight shows up. I want the player to hate Kirby by the time they're done with it. I want the player to be like, I don't know how to stop Kirby.
I don't know. It is so hard to get them to hate him after like going through 10 levels of just a visual delight of just exploding neon paint everywhere. And just
great
like
news. I know how to fix
happening.
That.
Okay, how do you fix that?
So Kirby has this fun mechanic where, like, it's zones, and there's little doorways that you have to go in, and every time you go through a doorway, the camera, like, shrinks down to darkness around the doorway. I think that every time you go through a doorway, for about one frame, flash, you see the world not covered in the fun, sparkly, glittery colors that you've painted the world out to be with your cool chewing. You see it all red. Just for one frame. All of the blood is red for a singular frame. And then you move on. You're like, that was weird. Anyway, back to the fun gameplay.
I'm so happy you mentioned that. I feel we should totally lean into that because I was on the exact same page as you because Shovel Knight does the same thing. It does it at the end of the game where it just shows you like, hey, here's every level you went through, but like here it is like after all the changes have happened, like the evil people aren't there. What if at the end of every level it shows you like, as like the loading screen for the next level's happening, it does like a left to right pan of the whole level. And it's just like showing you like, oh yeah, I remember where I killed this dude here, where I killed this dude here. And instead of it being like the beautiful, like pinks and highlighted greens and yellows and turquoises, it's just deep blood and sinew and bones just like littering the landscape.
I think that's far too on the nose. Here's what I'll give you.
Okay.
It is the one frame flash as you go through the game, and it's just for that one zone, that one time you go through a doorway.
Okay.
It is at the very end of the game when Meta Knight has his monologue about how he must be the one to stop you as the only other true Star Warrior.
Okay.
And during Meta Knight's really cool monologue about the fact that Kirby has become a being that is unstoppable and can do so much good, but alas, Kirby will grow bored, grow hungry, and destroy again.
He'll just turn into Galactus where he's like, you will eat the planet if you are left unchecked.
Yeah, Meta Knight looks at Kirby and sees the death of the universe in his eye. And so Meta Knight has a whole speech about how he must stop Kirby first. And while you see this cool speech from Meta Knight, then you pan through the whole world and see everything not all colorful and fun, but now all dark and grisly.
Okay, there we go. I think that's a good way to do it. This is very gruesome, and I love it. All right. You want me to give me a new game? I definitely want to put a pin in that one because that's pretty damn good.
Why don't you hit me with one more?
All right, this one comes to us on our email from Deacon Stott? Yeah. Super Star Wars. Mario and Luigi show up in the Star Wars universe. All right, AJ? This totally kind of works because of it's the next Super Mario Galaxy game, but it's in the world of Star Wars. And I'm trying to figure out, I think it would be so fucking cool because I want Luigi to have a good game, finally.
You're really going to say that in front of right here in front of my copy of Luigi's Mansion?
I'm sorry. What a one game series when Mario has I don't know fucking how many. Tough.
Okay.
Tough. Get all over right. it.
Okay, you want to give Luigi a second game franchise. Okay.
So Luigi, well, I mean, I'm not saying it needs to be a new franchise, but it could be the next thing in the Star Wars, in the Star Wars Galaxy, in the Super Mario Galaxy series. That way we have like a little bit of a basis. Like each planet is planets from the Star Wars world. So you have like Tatooine could be its own little starter world. But the thing I want to do is like narratively, is I think Mario should enter the dark side. And Luigi should be like taking over to try and bring his brother back from the dark side. And I think just the idea of Mario kneeling at like Palpatine's feet. And he's just like, just in his very high Mario voice. I swear to you. I will do evil
things. Yes. And then, now like, rise, Darth Plumber.
Darth Mario.
Darth Plumber. He's not going to go by Mario still. He wasn't Darth Anakin.
What are you talking about? Darth Vader? Anakin, well, he became Vader. He was not a Sith when he was Anakin. Or maybe
yeah, but
was.
There's no Sith that just keeps their name, right? Like
Darth Maul? Like all of the, what are you talking about?
No, his name wasn't Maul before, was it?
I'm very, very certain. Here, hold on. Darth Maul.
Yeah, go ahead and hit up the Google machine. Find out if Darth Maul had a name before.
Yeah, it looks like it's Maul, dude. Yeah, it's just Maul.
I've decided I hate Star Wars again.
What?
I mean, because I was wrong. My allegiance is very fickle.
Well, you're not tapped into the suck force, dude. You gotta be AJ. Use the suck force.
Okay, here's what I can tell you about the Suck Force. I don't think the Suck Force is going to be giving Mario or Luigi a lightsaber.
I totally disagree. I think those little boys with lightsabers duking it out in the final battle is what makes this game pretty fucking big. Dude, Luigi's like, instead of like in Mario Odyssey, like one of the big mechanics was
I'm not arguing that it wouldn't be dope.
They could throw their lightsabers,
I'm not saying it wouldn't be dope. I'm not saying it wouldn't be super cool. I'm not saying it would be it would not be amazing. I would love to see this. I'm just letting you know. Hold on. I'm calling the shot right now. I'm tapping into the Speed Force. I'm looking at the Suck Force. Sorry. I'm looking at it. I'm going to dip my hand in right now. I'm putting my hand in the Suck Force. Blow my hand out. So, I don't have Mario and Luigi with swords. I do have Mario and Luigi fighting each other in a Mario RPG game in the near future. Maybe when we get Year of Luigi 2, they'll give us another Mario Brothers RPG game. I see them fighting in that one, but no swords. I'm sorry to tell you that much.
You can't do a Star Wars series and be like, hey, they're not going to have lightsabers. Like, you know what series didn't have lightsabers in it? The Star Wars Christmas specials. There was a lot more wrong with it other than the lightsabers. But
no, it was mostly the lightsabers that were bad about that one, actually.
Also, I haven't watched like more than 3 episodes in The Mandalorian, but I am.
And that's because he doesn't have a lightsaber.
Well,
if Mandalorian had a lightsaber, you would watch more.
No, I think that's what the writers are planning for, because I think somebody shows up with like a darksaber, and I think the Mandalorian is going to get his paws on it, because that's what everybody wants. Everybody's like, I want to see Baby Yoda eat an entire civilization, and I want to see the Mandalorian have his own lightsaber, because like those are like the two big things. Also, Ahsoka's now there. I'm realizing I know a little bit more about Star Wars than I thought I would. I didn't like it growing up, but it was like Bible Man. It was one of those movies that was just always on in my house. Yes, Bible Man. If you don't know what that is, look it up. And they also have
Bible Man is my favorite Star Wars spinoff. Hey Blake, are you ready to pick our nug?
Yeah, I'm ready to pick our nug. What do you
think it's Kirby?
You think it's Kirby? Yeah, I also think it's Kirby. All right. Okay, so
now here's the thing that we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to do boss fights, because I know we forgot that last week, and we need to do boss fights.
Oh, we do need to do a boss fight.
Mm-hmm. All right, but what are you thinking? Like, what else do you want to build on?
Well, I think that I want to work on a title, but why don't we go? I think the game itself is honestly pretty locked. It's a Kirby game. Every time you eat somebody, you can choose to chew or swallow. If you swallow, you get a different power. If you chew, you upgrade the powers that you would normally get by 1 point. Now, granted, the points are going to be very large by the end of the game. There's probably going to be people that want to go back and grind and 100% the collectibles and all of that fun stuff we all love doing about Kirby games.
Uh-huh.
Could you do a thing
I think
that
we're ready to just move
power...
on to bosses.
No. I want to talk about the powers a little bit because
they're
with
normal
Kirby
powers, you know, laser, sword, punch.
No. What I'm saying is I would love it if there was a little bit more like complexity to that. So say you really like one specific power. Let's say the points aren't like there's the points that you accumulate that influence your dancing, but like the powers don't. You don't need to collect points to grow them. What I'm suggesting say you really, really find yourself liking the sword power, and you know is like every time you absorb another person with the sword power, it stacks. So you absorb one, you get a sword swipe. You absorb
absolutely
two, now
not.
You can do a thing where you... What? Why not?
Because here's the thing about Kirby. Look.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to just pick one power and steamroll the game. I want people to incentivize the fact we have this incredibly cool chewing mechanic, and I want that to be the gimmick of the game. I want people players to always be thinking, do I steal this person's power or do I chew them and rack up the blood points so that I have a fun dance at the end? That's the other thing. You need to be racking up the blood points by chewing
so that you can dance
at the end.
I have a solution for you. So I'm playing Doom Eternal Ancient Gods right now, and one of my favorite loops of that game is like in 1 minute I could have max health, max shields, max ammo. Within like a 15-second, 20-second engagement, I'm no shields, no health, no ammo. And just that constant like give and take of power and ability was really addicting. So I say we keep the stack ability, but if you get hit once, you lose everything you've got. So then it is constantly, you're constantly getting hit and barraged by enemies, so it's really hard to get to that stack ability, but if you manage to get it, it is super satisfying, because you're like, oh, fuck, I beat this challenge, and now I have these three stacks, and that feels super satisfying, but you are constantly getting hit, so, like, it takes training, it takes time, it's, like, a very brutal game where you're not always on top. Because, like, that's the thing I always felt when I play Kirby games is, like, they are admittedly fairly easy.
Yeah, they're a baby game for babies. Just, like, we love them. Yeah, we love Kirby,
yeah,
but it's
great.
A kid's game.
They're great. So what if you turn that into just a constant, like I feel if you're going to make it brutal...
You want to turn Kirby into Hollow Knight. Satisfying. Make it a really tough little platformer. Action game.
Yeah, a tough platformer that is like, you could be on top of the world 1 second, and then, oh fuck, it turns out I have no powers because I got hit by the boss. Now I need to chew on a little enemy. And so you're constantly getting the chews in like you want, and there's a lot of blood that comes with that, and that gets you points. But you could lose that power almost immediately. And that makes the boss fights way fucking cool. Because what you're going to have then is you have the boss fight going on and you can walk in with like, yeah, I have three stacks of the electric power and it's going to fucking give me a great head start in this boss match.
But it's a wood boss.
Yeah, or, you know, regardless, is you will then have little sub-enemies in the middle of the boss fight, which make every boss fight much more challenging. So be like, hey, I have to mind myself against the boss, but I also have to remember there's a bunch of little laser dudes running around at the bottom of the screen. So, like, it just makes it way harder, and say you get hit once by the boss, guess what? Now you need to go to one of the little dudes at the bottom, absorb their power, and then use it against the boss. So it's this constant, like, give and take. And also, because there's a constant give and take, you know what that means? Constant blood. there's constantly neon blood flying across the screen.
If you want to use stacking as a tool to escalate the character's general power and confidence so that we can catch them, so that they have to maneuver elsewhere, I'm in. I'm in. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't accidentally build a speedrunning system into our own game.
Yes, and then also, like, I totally get where you're coming from, because, like, if there, if we were to do this thing where it's just like, oh, I found one power that works for me and it's really nice.
Exactly. The thesis of our game is that Kirby's learned to chew and that has created a being that is the inevitable heat death of the universe. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that our player interacts with that gimmick and thesis statement.
You can also do a thing, too, that would be kind of cool. Kirby has, like, let's say 3 slots in his stomach. You do a thing where he chews up one enemy and it's a it's the sword character. Okay. A tier 1 sword. He gets into the next area and there's a flame guy. Okay, he chews the sword.
Kirby's powers are evolving and he can toggle between 3 options. Okay.
Well, I was thinking they combine. I think they combine. So he has a flaming sword and then he absorbs the hammer thing. So now he basically dual wields a hammer and a sword. And if he gets hit once, he loses everything that's in his stomach. You do that just so it's just like increases the playability, increases the satisfying nature of like, oh man, I somehow managed to not get hit and stacked up to 3 things in my stomach. I'm fucking all powerful. You walk into the next board and bam, you get hit once. It's like, oh, now I'm starting again and I got to chew up some enemies. So you're constantly chewing. You're constantly like trying out different power combinations.
Okay.
And there you go. There you go.
All right. Let's talk about and some maybe bosses then.
Okay. Let's look at our Discord.
For those of you that don't know, if you are signed on to our Patreon, you get access to our Patreon Discord. And in there, we have a channel where people can submit their own bosses. Bosses like this one from Gazer, a battle Muppet. Now, I love this idea of like, what we could definitely do with this boss, especially with like Kirby's fun aesthetic and look. You express the idea of like, this is a bit of like a Halloween Town vibe, right? It's a lot of crazy, kooky enemies, and that's kind of been the MO of the Kirby games for a long time, is crazy, kooky monsters. Mm-hmm. What if there is a giant puppet? Like a giant Muppet puppet that you fight for like the first round until you're eight, and you start to notice, hey, wait a minute, if I use Kirby's suck power, I kind of notice that like the fabric on him moves. And you realize that if you beat the absolute tar out of the Muppet, you can then suck, if you position yourself into the right spot, you can go ahead and suck the Muppet right off the hand of the guy, chew that Muppet up, eat it, consume it for power. But what's this? The hand is left over. That's crazy. And then you realize that the boss is much, much bigger than you originally thought. And that's kind of going to be the next 2 worlds, is continuing to fight this super giant person.
It's a skeleton. Yes, it has to be.
Yes, it will be a giant skeleton. And I think that each time, each zone thereafter would be Kirby kind of grabbing, seeing one of the bones, and you inhale that bone, and then you chew and break and crush that bone up.
You know,
and then you move
on
to the next piece of the bone.
What if it's not like a bone how we think of? Do you remember those? They were used in arts and crafts. They were like the metal wire that has the fuzz on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's what if it's like, that's the skeleton. That's what the skeleton's made out of. Because, like, Kirby...
I'm interested in that, but I'm also interested in the sound effect of Kirby breaking bone when he chews.
I mean, you could do the same sound effect, but then again, yeah, you're right. Like, the idea of seeing actual skeleton hand is definitely more impactful than seeing
a giant skeleton hand, and then the rest of the level is you breaking down piece by piece that whole skeleton. So by the end of the next 2 levels, like, you've done this boss fight, and then, like, it's the kind of the beginning of the air quotes world or zone. And so by the end of it, Kirby is left consuming a 500-foot tall skeleton monster.
Hey, this is going to be really morbid. Gore warning for those listening. What if the boss starts off as just a regular giant human, and each level you're...
No,
just,
I see where
no,
you're
no,
going,
no,
and
stick,
I refuse.
Stick, no, you don't like the idea of it just, you're slowly taking layer off of this dude.
No, it's a Muppet being piloted by a giant skeleton, and that's as far as I'm going. Because, again, I don't want to peel off the veneer of the horror until the end. I want it to feel kind of like a Kirby game, just to like, piloted down, oh, fun sparkles, and then you see that one frame when you go into loading zones where you're like, now hold the
would,
hold
I,
on
I,
whoa whoa whoa
I,
bah, bah, bah.
I would argue a skeleton is pretty fucking pretty horrorific. So you're saying it's cartoony horror until you realize it's real horror, like between levels.
Like, it feels like Kirby's in Dreamland until kind of like those between level things where you see that frame where everything's all desaturated and red. Maybe some of the bosses have dialogue that's a bit more uncomfortable than we're used to seeing in a Kirby game. And then, of course, we have the uncomfortable moment where you do chew a thing to death And then we have the Meta Knight monologue about Kirby being the end of the universe if he does not stop you there.
I have another one that's pretty kind of like deathly based. This is what comes to us from Connor Rain, and they just say corpse husband. And that got me thinking it would be so fucking cool if you get into a boss fight and it's just like this Halloween themed wedding where you have like this couple and you're fighting two bosses at once, basically. So like these two people that are getting married. So it's the corpse husband and their partner. And that's the level. So it's like you... Like, maybe the motivation is, because Kirby's motivations are always weird. Like, I forget what game it is, but he's just like, I'm hungry, so I'm going to go on an adventure to go find some cake. What if he just shows up at this wedding to eat this wedding cake, and these two poor, couple that's getting married is just defending their cake, so this little ravenous fucking goblin doesn't eat it.
Yeah.
So you, and then you find out, you know, it's like a zombie husband and their partner.
I love that. A little two-phase boss fight, because the first phase is like a little objective thing where you're trying to get the little cake, and then the second fight is the corpse husband absolutely trying to wreck your whole thing.
And just then the destroy third phase
that
is
little
that,
pink, that little pink puffball.
And then, like, you know, what'd be kind of cool is I'm like a sucker. I think Luigi's Mansion did it where you're going up against like two people getting married, but it's like, actually, no, it's not two people getting married. You go into a ballroom and a bunch of the ghosts are dancing throughout the fight. And it would be just kind of cool if you have this couple that's getting married, they're just like, all of their fighting moves relate to like a wedding waltz or something like that. Like they're all of their attacks are dance based, which feels kind of very kooky, Kirby, cutesy sort of vibe.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Yeah, these are some decent boss fights. Are you ready to talk about a name?
I am ready to talk about a name.
All right. I got one. I've got an idea. How do you feel about Kirby more than you can chew?
More than you can chew. That's pretty good. It's a little bit long. I feel like we need something that has a little bit more bite to it.
All right. Kirby, bite out of crime.
But he's not biting out of any crime. He's committing the crime. Biting into crime or crime.
Let's look at some other Kirby names.
Okay.
We've got Kirby Superstar, Kirby Dream Land 3, Kirby Nightmare in Dream Land, Kirby Air Ride, Kirby Canvas Curse, Kirby Superstar Ultra, Kirby Triple Deluxe, Kirby Fighters Deluxe.
Kirby is the Nightmare in Dreamland.
This time he is, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you need something like bloody, teeth, mashing, bone, something like that. Kirby game names.
I think, well, we don't want to nail it too hard on the head. I think that there's some good terminology that we could get with, like, bite or chew. I think Nash is a little grisly for our Kirby aesthetic. Okay,
that's fair. Ooh, what about, like, last bite? Like, the last, like, because, like, a lot of people, when they think Kirby, he does eat things. So, like, saying bite kind of fits, so...
Bite's a word that we can slide in, no problem.
AJ, Kirby, the last meal.
Kirby last meal's not bad, but that does feel a little bit like, is this the final Kirby game?
I don't know. I feel like there's two endings to this game. Maybe there's a thing.
Oh,
that
yeah, the
you
Meta Knight,
win
the Meta Knight
do,
fight
like...
will be so incredibly difficult. I'm thinking like, you know how like you'll play video games that have like an unwinnable boss fight at the very beginning of the game? Devil May Cry 5. Yeah, it is possible to beat it, but it is so very, very difficult. This game will have a boss fight like that for Meta Knight. It will be an almost unwinnable boss fight. Because again, somebody has to put you down, and the player is going to feel that.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. Oh, you know, it'd be a fun one too. Kirby Munch Crunch.
Kirby Munch Crunch.
Super. Oh, here you go. Kirby Super Munch Crunch. Or Ultimate. Super... Or
I've got a couple games over here. I've got three games in a row that have the word deluxe in it. So might I propose Kirby Munch Crunch Deluxe?
Yes, exactly. Yes, 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 yes. That's the name. Hell
Kirby,
yeah. Good job.
Munch
Fuck
Crunch
yeah.
Deluxe. Crunch there Deluxe. Is, that's a video game.
Feels cutesy. And you like look at the art and it's just all...
It's going like, to look like a normal Kirby thing, except he has teeth. Maybe his angry eyes. Maybe you use the angry eyes that he got and then teeth.
Oh, I'm so excited. All right, that's a game, dude. We ready for patch notes?
Let's go to patch notes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Patch Notes. This week, we want to bring to light a couple of things we found and a couple of links towards some really good causes that we would love to share with you all. One of the first ones I want to bring up is on GoFundMe. It's the Housing for Homeless Trans Indigenous Community. Basically, it's a big charity page dedicated towards helping out Indigenous transgender youth and adults across the country, helping them out with homelessness and just kind of taking them out of unsafe situations. And it's a GoFundMe I believe in. And, you know, especially right now with Thanksgiving was this week. And like for a lot of us, it's like, oh, that's the time of pie and food and family. But for a lot of people, it's a time of mourning and remembrance. And I think that's something I think we need to be more informed about. So go ahead and check out that GoFundMe. Has a lot of good info on there.
And while we're on that topic, I also wanted to go ahead and kick out that if you've got a little bit more money to spare, the Native American Rights Fund is always accepting donations. They're a rights fund that has provided legal assistance to Native American tribes, organizations, and individuals nationwide. They've helped out on a lot of civil cases. They've helped out on a lot of legal battles to help secure Native rights, especially within tribes. So all these communities are definitely looking for help. I know that COVID was a really, really rough time for a lot of those communities. And I know that, again, like Blake mentioned, Thanksgiving is a weird holiday. It's a great time for families, but it's not maybe the most incredible historically. We've been shoveled a lot of lies about what that holiday means and was and is. Yeah. So don't be afraid to educate yourself a little bit more about these things.
Hey, we're all learning.
Yeah, I didn't know like anything about really any of the Native American tribe stuff until I started actually looking into it, because it was not something necessarily in our educational system. With that being said, thank you all so much for listening to the podcast. It's been an absolute blast as always. Our intro and outro music is Cheap Shop by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I have been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.